Yes.
Perfect. I'll go ahead and get started.
Okay.
All right.
Record is hit.
Okay, good morning. The time is 10:04 a.m. Pacific time, and I'd like to call to order the meeting of the Qualifications Committee of the Oregon Board of Accountancy for April 10th, 2019. My name is Megan Kurz, chair of the committee, and would like to announce that this meeting is being recorded. This is an in-person meeting, and I'll start with a roll call of all guests that are joining us in person. First, committee and board staff, if you could please announce yourselves.
Julie Nadeau, licensing manager.
Stacy Janes, board staff.
Brian Kramer, committee member.
Tanya Moffitt, committee member.
Norm Rush, committee member.
Perfect. Next, we have some other guests in the room. If you could please introduce yourselves, and if you're a supervisor licensee, please announce which candidate you're supporting.
Heather Rowenhorst, candidate.
Ben Hyatt, candidate.
Great, thanks. So next, we'll move to guests joining us via phone. If there are committee members on the phone, could you please announce yourselves?
Yes, we've got Ron Lewis here. Casey Gamble is here.
All right. Any other committee members on the phone?
Haley Fisher's here.
Good morning, Haley. Okay. Are we expecting anyone else? Or
maybe supervisor licensees, so guests.
Oh, perfect. Okay. So next, we'll move on to any applicants on the phone. If there are applicants, could you please announce yourselves? Good morning, Carolyn. And then Mark Ferguson, did we hear your name?
Yeah.
Okay, great, thank you. Okay, and then if there are any supervisor licensees on the phone, could you please announce yourselves and the candidate that you're representing?
This is Greg Wardle. I'm the CFO at Asante, and I'm representing Heather Lowenhurst.
Great, thank you, Greg. Okay, and then finally, any other individuals joining us on the phone?
I'm the CFO at River Point Medical, representing Mark Ferguson.
Welcome.
Can you repeat your name? I'm sorry, sir.
Okay. Excellent. Well, with that, I believe that we have a quorum, and we're able to move forward with our first order of business, which is review and approval of the draft agenda that Stacy James circulated with the committee. So to the members in the room, any questions, additions, edits? Okay. So with that, I guess on the phone, any additions or edits to the agenda? Perfect. Hearing none, I'd entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
I move that we entertain the minutes in approval of the agenda for the April 10th, 2019 meeting.
I'll second.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Any opposition or abstentions? Great. Hearing none, the motion passes. All right, so moving on to the third item on the agenda is the report of board action. Julie.
I think that falls to me, yes. So you do have a new board liaison. His name is Stu Morris. He's not in attendance today. I didn't have communication with him. So I'll reach out and let him know what's happening today with your committee. But the board approved your recommendations across the board. There were no questions, no follow-up. And I actually don't think there was much else that I wasn't expecting this, so I didn't look back. But I can't
sure.
recall anything else from the board meeting that would be
perfect.
Noteworthy.
Okay, that's great. That's very helpful. We look forward to meeting and working with Stuart in the future. And then, in addition to the report of board action, just where the board fell out on our applicants, any other pending or emerging issues that would be helpful for us. If Stuart could help give us any guidance in that area, that would be helpful. That would be great. And then if there's anything else that you observed while in the meeting that you think is important for us to know.
I will let you know the board has a work session coming up May 13, 14. So they'll have their regular meeting items, but during work session, they'll be talking about, I know one of the things will be education, you know, requirements to sit for the exam. They'll be going over, and it is, you know, portions of it are public. Most of it is public. Exec obviously would not be, but you're welcome to come and listen or, you know, read after or listen to the minutes after. So if you want to know where they're kind of headed on different topics.
Excellent. All right. Thanks, Julie. Mm-hmm. Okay, with that, we'll go ahead and move on to our pending applications. Looks like we have three current applications. Two of the candidates are in the room with us, and one is on the phone. And then one deferred application, and that candidate is also on the phone. So given that everybody is here and participating, we'll go ahead and go through these sequentially in the order that they're listed. So let's go ahead and start with Mark's application. Haley?
Can you all hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, sorry. So I reviewed Mark's application. He has worked at Riverside Medical, with the medical supply manufacturing company for the last 5 years. He's worked under his qualified supervisor, Tom Hinkson, since January 2018. He's responsible for financial compliance and tax reporting, along with many other things. He was appointed the lead of their ERP implementation team and is currently working on a potential merger and acquisition. I think this is a really strong application, which is based on experience and achievement of the research conference case. I really provided him some feedback to help him better articulate the narrative, and he made many of my suggestions. So I'd like to open it up to you for comments.
Haley, this is Ryan Kramer. I just had a question, or a more of a request for clarity about his roles. It sounds like he's been there for about 5 years, but the supervisory period, I think, is only the last 13 to 14 months. So is the ERP leading the M&A work and the duties around budgeting, financial statement preparation, analysis of products for profitability, regulatory compliance, all those things that he mentioned in his narrative, are those covered in this 13 to 14 month period, or are those some items that he may have done earlier in his tenure at the company? I'm just trying to understand a little bit about how much of that experience he's drawn on in his narrative is actually within the last year that's really a supervisory period.
That's a cool question.
Okay,
to clarify that, this is Todd Dukin, the supervisor. We've actually done all of that in about the last 13 or 14 months. It's been a lot of heavy activity going on here. I was brought in midstream into the implementation, and the mergers and acquisition work and all the regulatory stuff has all been sort of exploding in the last 13 or 14 months. So we've been extremely busy taking care of a lot of different obligations recently.
Okay, thanks for the clarification.
You're welcome.
Any other questions or comments on the application?
So, I have a question, and it's just more of a confirmation, but in some parts of the narrative, it did seem like the term "we" was used a lot, so I felt pretty good about the application, but at the same time, I just wanted to confirm that the information in there is specifically what the campus has actually done and not necessarily what the organization as a whole does. So I just wanted to confirm that.
Yeah, this is Todd again. Yeah, I mean, Mark has been here a lot longer than I have been, so he's really been a big role in understanding how the operations work here and being able to pull together a lot of information. So when he used me, it's reflective of him and I working together, me more in a supervisory capacity. And when you kind of look at the business here, Mark is the most knowledgeable person about how the business runs. And I've basically just been able to sort of oversee, mentor, and train on some of the higher level theory things that we've been working on this year.
So, and specifically in under Boston.
I guess writing about yourself and the work you're doing. I guess sometimes it's just a little challenging as far as what pronouns to use specifically.
Right, so I just wanted to confirm, like, how did you see when they're talking about work papers, it says, you know, you prepare this work paper, that is actually you doing it, correct?
Yes, correct.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions or comments?
This is Ryan again. I think, neither of these comments, I think, rise to the level of requiring adjustments to the narrative, but it was my observation that I think in competency A, some of the examples are fairly generic. I think one pretty much says tax laws are vague, so I have to use professional judgment. I think normally I'd be looking for a specific example of how he had to apply a tax law or interpreted tax law and the impact of that and the process that he went through. Similarly, in competency B, it's really focused on risk assessment. And I think there's a lot of examples about kind of procedures performed and conclusions reached, but not really touching on the risk assessment process and how did he determine what the risks are? What was that process? How did he tie those back to the procedures being performed and the conclusions reached? Again, I just want to share the observations. I think that holistically the narrative got there for me, but just as I was reading through, there were a few areas that felt kind of light relative to the requirements in the narrative.
Ryan, this is Megan. I think I would echo those sentiments to the extent that while there were several examples that were really good examples, they felt very transactional. And so for me, parts of it were kind of missing, tying it back around full circle to your point in stating specifically how the example addressed the competency. Other thoughts from those who read the application?
I would echo the same statement. This is Tony Moffitt.
So then I think at the end of the day, Haley, you know, do we feel comfortable recommending the application for approval, or are there certain competencies that we would like to see the candidate go back and parse out or make it more robust in the documentation? All right.
Was that said to me or to me?
It was to you, Haley.
So I missed the last participant's vote, but again, my question would be, are these comments, FDA comments, are they guidance to a level that we really need to do more work, or are they, I believe that although I agree it is somewhat transactional, that I got there, and so some people recommending it goes over now, but I'd like to, again, make sure the rest of me go through that.
Haley, I don't know if you heard my comments, but I prefaced them by saying that they were just observations, not something that I felt needed to be changed before we could move forward on the application. So,
okay.
I think we would be comfortable with you making a motion.
Yeah. So I'm
going to
go ahead and make the motion, and then we can vote. So I move that there is sufficient evidence to make a preliminary finding that Mark Ferguson has demonstrated the competencies necessary for initial licensing per OAR 801-010-0065.
Do we have a second?
Yes, sir.
Perfect. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Hearing none, the motion passes. Okay. Next application on the docket is for Heather Roanhorst.
Yes, so this is Ryan. I had Heather's application. Heather has worked for Asante Health System in Medford, right, for around 14 years. Check me on the math. She's had multiple roles and is currently a director of finance, reporting to the CFO, or I think he's chief operating officer and finance officer. She has responsibility for GL accounting, AP payroll, budget support, a wide variety of duties. I think in my initial read of the narrative, it was very clear that there was a very deep level of experience for the candidate at her role. But I think in nearly every single competency, it was very high level generic examples or behavioral examples, but not specific examples. And I would say that what was included in the narrative was enough to help me see that there was a lot of meat there that just needed to be pulled into the narrative. So I had questions on every competency or comments, I should say, on every competency except for competency G. And Heather went back and added a lot of detail to her narrative. And ultimately, there was another round of follow-up, pretty minor information or requests about some projects that she's done in competency C, the risk assessment process in competency E, and performing accounting research and guidance in competency F. But I think that she sufficiently addressed those comments in her final version of the narrative. So with that, I'd like to open it up for any questions or comments from the committee.
This is Megan. I thought that the paper was really well written and the examples were great. By the time it got to us, it was in very good shape, so good work. I did have a question. On the introduction, it talks about your role and your background at Asante. There isn't a lot of discussion about your involvement with your supervisor or what that looks like on a regular basis, so I was hoping maybe you could expand upon that.
Sure, yeah. My involvement with Greg Woidel is on a daily basis. We're working hand-in-hand, kind of overseeing all the financial duties of Asante, that being the three hospitals and the provider group. So it's a daily interaction, going through financials, drilling down, understanding, getting ready for lots of different things that are going to happen in healthcare as we transition from this volume base to the value and what that looks like, as well as we're getting ready for a big bond issue coming up, and so there's lots of research that is being done around what does that mean, how should we set that up, and all. So it's definitely a daily interaction with Greg.
Great, thank you.
Yeah, and this is Greg. I will add that most of the interaction is more of a strategic level. The day-to-day operations and things like audit and tax returns and all those things, I just rely on Heather and expect that performance. I quite frankly don't have the time to do that with the strategic issues, and so she's got that duty.
Great, thank you.
I didn't have any questions on the application.
Yeah, this is Norm Raj. I thought it was a very well-written application, too. Well done.
This is Casey. I thought it was well-written, too. I just had one kind of pedantic question, and that was, in a couple places it referenced, you know, that she's worked for quite a long time for Asante, so I just wanted to confirm that all the examples in the application are specifically under the supervisory period.
Yes. There was maybe a couple when I implemented the system for EPSI, which is a cost accounting budget And that happened in 2014. So that wasn't under the supervision, but I feel like my other examples under that competency were within grade supervision.
Okay. So, sorry, just to confirm, and because, you know, I've gone through your application, but I don't know it by heart. So, are you saying that there is an example in there that was not under the supervisory period?
As far as the implementation of the system was not under the supervision of Gray, but as far as putting in controls around making sure that the transactions came over appropriately from the source system have been under Greg Woidel.
And then there are two system implementations, it looks like, discussed in the application. The next one is a payroll and HR system,
yeah.
Which looks like it's a more recent.
Okay. That was just over a year ago and under Greg's supervision.
Any other comments or questions? Okay, with that, I would move to find that there's sufficient evidence to make a preliminary finding that Heather Roanhorse has demonstrated the competencies necessary for initial licensing for OAR 801-010-0065.
I would second that.
All right, all those in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, the motion passes. All right. And so the final current application that we have on the docket this morning is for Benjamin Hyatt. Benjamin is here in the room with us, and Casey, it looks like this is your application.
Good morning, everybody. So Mr. Hyatt, he worked for Denison LLC since 2005. Most recently as a cost-cutting manager, he worked under the direct supervision of Mr. Brian Lendell since 2006. Denison primarily manufactures real farms and large ocean stone barges, which I thought was really interesting. Okay. So he originally applied back in 2017 and was deferred on all competencies, so I just wanted to kind of mention that I just treated this completely from your application because it really looks back at all. The narrative that you have in front of you is an updated narrative, so it, you know, erroneously was not designated as such, but there is an updated narrative, and so my feedback has been blended in, you know, or just responded to my feedback has been blended in. I just want to make sure you know that. Initially, I suggested revisions on essentially all the competencies. Primarily, my suggestions included integrating a broader scope in the narrative, more details for the example, and some reorganization, moving things around in the competencies. I also suggested a more direct approach in addressing the competency requirements. Honestly, I've been a little bit on the fence. And I feel like the application could be a little bit stronger, but I've concluded that I do believe that Mr. Hyatt has demonstrated the competencies necessary for licensure through his application. And therefore, I do plan to recommend approval of his application, but I would love to hear some feedback from the committee.
Hey, this is Ryan Kramer. I just want to note that I used to audit Gunderson, and I worked with them some. However, I think that's been almost 10 years ago now, and so I feel like I've been no way biased or conflicted in my review of the application. Although the launch of a barge is pretty cool to watch. So, I just had one comment, and it was competency B. The narrative goes into some examples about financial metrics standardization, and I would have looked to get a little bit more detail about how did you go about the standardization process. If we're talking about inventory terms, days inventory outstanding, et cetera, that would be the most sense across Greenbrier's business and the different plants. How did how did they determine the appropriate measure or the standard measure to apply it across the company that was most beneficial and measurable or benchmark, able to be benchmarked against other companies. So looking for a little bit more detail on that, and I think also maybe in competency F, there was seemed to be a little bit lacking of technical accounting research. That said, similar to the first application today, those are just observations, not edits that I believe are necessary.
And Ben is welcome to answer any questions you have, and that would be part of his
okay.
narrative by means of the minutes.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, if you kind of, if you're familiar with the example in there about standardizing financial metrics for Gunderson, and I think it mentioned going across Greenbrier, the different plants, maybe they might be Gunderson versus Greenbrier, but how did you kind of go through that standardization process, determine what was the most relevant across the company?
So we looked at where, you know, what kind, what levels of, for example, inventory for inventory terms, what level of inventory we're carrying. The goal was to, carry as little inventory as possible. And we did we looked at some different techniques for doing that. With days of inventory outstanding, inventory turns, and it was determined that inventory turns would be kind of our primary example. And I used, I was tasked with, coming up with a way to look at that inventory, how to count it accurately with cycle counting. We implemented the cycle counting procedures to make sure, all inventory was counted throughout the year. And I would, did some traveling to Mexico. We worked with each other and worked remotely to implement that.
Maybe on competency F.
Sorry to interrupt, but can I just say, I'm having a hard time hearing. It sounds like someone is typing in the background. If anyone's typing, can I ask that they use their phone?
We're taking minutes, Casey, sorry.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
No,
I'm just having a hard time hearing.
Yep.
I moved my laptop down to my lap. Hopefully that'll help.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, Casey, I don't know if you got that, but I think to paraphrase Ben's comments, I think when they were looking to, I think the goal was to get inventory levels to as low of a sustainable cost level that they could. And so they looked at the inventory turns metric as the key ratio that they wanted to look at. And so he traveled to some different plants to kind of analyze inventory turns and making that a consistent metric across the company. Yeah.
Thank you.
This is Megan. I think I'm in a similar situation as Ryan. I was a manager on the engagement from 11, 12, and 13. And then Norm may have a similar.
Yeah, it just occurred to me, yeah.
conflict, but again, that's been several years ago, and I think the interaction with Ben, was at a different level. My main question, I guess, then, as I review this application and your prior application, I see a lot of similarities and crossovers, so I'm just wondering what the process is that you and Brian went through as you were kind of saying, okay, I came off a deferral across the board. What did you guys do to kind of go back to the drawing board and take a fresh look at updating this? Like, what did that process look like for you guys?
So we looked at, the comment. I listened to the comments from the board. I looked at, and I looked for areas where, that I hadn't mentioned in the previous narrative that would fit those requirements. Examples are work I've done with, I expanded more on the internal auditing work we do. We do a lot of, so we implemented a system called Control Self Audit, where we're doing a lot of the testing work for our internal audit team, and I've managed that process for 3 years. We've also done some cross auditing with other divisions of our company, like leasing and our GRS wheel shops. Also looked at, got a lot of good insight from Casey. So just ideas on different areas I could focus on, for example, the cash flow analysis I do on a quarterly basis, things like that.
Did you take on any special projects in order to meet any of the competencies in particular, or was it just you made the documentation more robust based on your day-to-day responsibilities?
It's a combination. I didn't specifically take on any new jobs for the purposes of meeting competencies, but those things did come up. And a lot of it is providing more robust examples of the work I do.
Great, thank you. Any other questions?
Oh, I should mention, this is Norm Rush. I should mention, Megan, since you brought it up, it occurred to me as soon as Ryan said something that I worked for a time for the Greenbrier companies with a different subsidiary, but I don't think Ben and I ever met during my time there, so I don't think I'm prejudiced.
No, I recognize your name, but that's it.
Great. Okay. All right. Any other comments or questions?
So I think it's okay with you. I'll go ahead and make a recommendation here. I need to find that there is sufficient evidence to make a preliminary finding that Benjamin Hyatt has demonstrated the competencies necessary for initial licensing for OAR 801-010-0065.
All right, we have a second.
I'll second that.
Great. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, the motion passes.
Thank you.
Okay, so that was our last pending or current application. So with that, we'll move on to deferred applications. So Carolyn Stevenson's application was deferred at our last meeting, and that application is being covered by Yvette. Yvette, are you on the line?
Hi, ma'am. Yes. Bear with me. I might start coughing. Carolyn's application was first presented at her January meeting, and she was deferred for competency B as in boy, C as in Edward, and F as in Frank. For adding more details or more robust descriptions in her example. And I believe that the information that she added, and you can tell by the bold and underlined paragraphs in her submission that she added sufficient information to show that she's met these competencies. The comments at our last meeting were more about what work she does for the risk assessment versus what, you know, it's done at the company level and why is it being done, not just what's being done. And at the end, I believe that she answered this in her responses. And I'll open it up for comments at this time.
This is Tanya Moffitt. I agree that well done on the revisions. I believe that it got us to the place that we needed to be on the three areas that we had some concerns on.
This is Megan. I concur. I thought, B was an area where I wanted to see a little more detail, and I think you did a really nice job of parsing that out. Any other questions?
Any other comments? I don't have the motion in front of me.
I just
need it. But I would like to make a motion that Carolyn Stevenson has met the requirement of OAR 800-010-065. I forget the price of the words on it, sorry.
For the competencies necessary for the initial licensing.
Yes, thank you. I'll second that.
Thanks, Haley. Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, the motion passes. All right. Well, we're through all of our current and deferred applications. That might be record time, you guys. Nice work. So with that, we'll move on to the agenda for new business. So a couple of items on the docket today. The first is election of a vice chair. So this is a role that, in essence, it's pretty similar to being a committee member. Just in the event that a chair is unavailable, then you would fill in with hosting the meeting and moving through the agendas and the motions, et cetera. So have we had anybody raise interest or haven't heard? No self-nominations? Is anyone interested in that role? I think, everybody would be a great candidate. So if there's anyone that's interested.
I just heard somebody hang up.
That could have been.
Sorry. Hello?
Hi, Casey.
Oh. How long is the appointment? Is it a year?
Yes, it would be until next. We really should do these elections in January, but I think we barely had a quorum, I think, in January, and not a lot of interest, so we pushed it back. So, yes, you should be off the hook of the January meeting.
Is this something you're interested in, Casey?
I would be mildly interested if there's nobody that's more than mildly interested.
Can I put that in the minutes?
I'm always remote, so that's,
True.
I guess I'm saying I would step up if we needed someone to step up, but at the same time, there's logistical issues because I'm, far, far away.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of our meetings are teleconference anyways, so I don't know that that has a bearing. But any other interested parties? No? All right. Well, then I would like to nominate Casey Camores for vice chair.
I would second
that.
All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Great. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, the motion passes. Congratulations, Casey.
Thank you.
We all step back from the line. You just stay forward. We love it when that happens.
I think there's a big party at Casey's house tonight to celebrate.
Yeah, we're flying down to see you.
We're going to see you in Lubbock.
Sounds good to me.
All right, so then the next item, I know that Stacy and Julie sent some information out ahead of time. Is that something you guys would be interested in expanding a little bit upon, just giving some background and describing so that we're all up to speed?
Yes. So this really, timing-wise, it has absolutely nothing to do with the revised MOUs. When I spoke with David, he just said that internally they were looking at that. They'd been looking at it for over a year, whether or not it was worthwhile for them to continue the program right now. They don't have supervisors. They just don't have a lot of licensees working there. They are actively recruiting. They are looking to bring more CPAs back in. But they just don't have it right now. So, they have a committee of one.
it's just not something they can do. And so for now, they'll terminate. And then they have all of the new agreement language. So when they're ready to go forward. Oh, and the other thing they said was, you know, with the recruitment, they had a hiring freeze for a long time. And so recruiting was hard. They have a lot of vacancy. So as they're able to recruit now, you know, they would be looking at that. But it'll be a while, at least a year, they thought. So
okay.
So they'll be ready to go. They'll contact us when they're back up and moving in the right direction.
Okay. That sounds good. So it sounds like we probably won't get many IRS applicants in the near term, but if we do, just something for us to keep in mind that if there's reference to a program, they don't currently have one.
Right.
Great. All right. Any other new business or any other items?
We should be bringing to you on that topic probably your next meeting, depending on when that, I'm trying to think of dates, but we should be bringing new agreements to you. I know we have one signed just this week, I think just this week, and then we have a couple more pending that are, so because, you know, we talked, I think, last fall that we're revising all of the MOUs. We're having more consistent language, getting termination clauses in there and everything. So to protect them and the board, you know, for both sides. So their internal committees are working through that language right now. Okay. They've, you know, asked lots of great questions and kind of everybody's putting the finishing touches. I think I have an email in here from Cambia right now. And, you know, I know that Intel's been working, Intel's might actually be done. I forget which one's done. And Department of Revenue. So we're just, you know, there's four that will be finished here pretty soon, and we'll get those copies to you when it happens.
Great.
Just as a source of information, not, I mean, you know, it's not a...
Any new companies that have expressed interest in...
No, we haven't met. I mean, you know, I don't know. I mean, other than, like, if you have, you know, if you know somebody who's at a company and they say, hey, we want to, you know, and you're talking it up, but... We aren't, you know, we're not out marketing.
Advertising.
Right. So, I mean, it's not, there are a few companies that I wonder why they don't, just because it seems like it would be beneficial, but I'm sure there's cost and time allowances to consider that if what's working for them is already working, then they don't want to.
Yeah. It probably depends on the volume of applicants, and because they do take a lot of kind of care and feeding. And,
I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, for us personally at Lithia, it's a good marketing tool when we're recruiting because we're able to help candidates get a good picture that, you know, our program is robust enough that we put them through a very formalized process similar to what they would get in a public accounting setting. So any others in the industry that are in a similar situation, we've found it helpful for that.
Well, you certainly have... Lots of
applicants.
We do.
All right. Okay. Anything else? All right.
You guys are so fast.
Yes, I'm hoping that lunch is going to be
perfect. Yeah. Well, with that, I'll adjourn the meeting. It's 10:47 a.m. Thanks, everybody, for participating today.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.